The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father loves me, so I also love you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy might be in you, and your joy might be complete. This is my commandment: love one another as I love you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer call you slaves, because a slave does not know what his master is doing. I have called you friends, because I have told you everything I have heard from my Father. It was not you who chose me, but I who chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. This I command you: love one another." The Gospel of the Lord. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. You can welcome everybody now to the Feast of St. Matthias, okay, with a very simple message for you here today. St. Matthias, who, as you heard in your first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, was the man chosen to replace Judas after his betrayal, to once again restore the number of the Apostolic College to its original scriptural number of 12. And yet it would not remain at 12 for very long. Soon there would come Paul. Soon there would come Barnabas. Soon after that would come a third apostle, James. Just as a question for your own interest, what is it that makes an apostle? An apostle was a witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Okay? That's what makes an apostle. That's why there can never be more apostles. You had to be a witness to Jesus' resurrection. But from among the original apostles, there's none about whom we know less than St. Matthias. Because the only time Matthias is ever mentioned in all the Bible was in your first reading. We know that he was chosen. We know how he was chosen. We know that he would die a martyr's death, and that's about all that we know. Some say he died in Jerusalem. Some say he died in Cappadocia. Some say he died in Ethiopia. Some say he died in what's now the Republic of Georgia. Truth is, nobody really knows. And I tell you, it's something I find fascinating about that fact. Because it's true not only for Matthias, but for so many of these legendary martyrs whose names we still invoke today, that we know almost nothing about them. We don't know what they looked like or what they sounded like. We don't know anything about their personality. You know what that tells you? Well, that tells you that in the ancient world, among the original followers of Christ, living under times of persecution, they cared much more about the message than they did about the messenger. And isn't that something we could use a little bit more of in our own time? Yes, just not. Okay, we can. But here's the thing. The great thing about Matthias, though, is we get to hear the story of how he was chosen. And this is a great help for you in your faith right here, right now, because as you heard here in our first reading, more than the apostles, 120 people gathered together, prayed that God's will should be revealed to them, cast their lots, and Matthias was chosen. Now, just as a question of your own interest, they did not make up that process right there on the spot. That's how the Levitical priests assigned sacred duties in the temple. You see that in the book of Leviticus, you see that in the book of Chronicles, you see that in the book of Proverbs. But that process, by the way, is exactly the way that we still choose the Holy Father in our own time. You know how many cardinals there are? 120 voting cardinals. Okay, that number comes from Acts of the Apostles. And what happened in 2013 when Pope Benedict retired and resigned? But that 120 people gathered, prayed that God's will should be revealed to them, cast their ballots, and they elected a pope. And before that, in 2005, it was Pope John Paul II who died, and what happened immediately thereafter, but 120 people gathered in the city of Rome, prayed that God's will should be revealed to them, and they cast their ballots. You know what this really goes to show us now in our own time? It shows us that God Almighty actually works through real human instrumentation. That's how it helps us in our faith. Because, I mean, the apostles must have known how hard it would be for people to make the transition from believing in Jesus Christ to believing that that same Jesus Christ actually works through a church. They must have known that. I mean, imagine how hard it would be to elect a pope if we didn't have this story of the election of St. Matthias. Now, that's something now that's very important for us to remember. Because occasionally I'll have this conversation with people and they'll say, oh, if I had lived in the time of Jesus, my faith would be so deep because I'd be able to go to Jesus and talk to him face to face and solve all my problems. And I'll be the last one to deny that it would be an amazing advantage to be able to talk to Jesus face to face in a perfectly natural human way. No question about that whatsoever. Here's the challenge, though. To be able to look at that Jesus then, what with his tousled hair and his tattered clothing and the sweat of his brow and laboring in his carpenter's shop, and to be able to look him in the face and say, my Lord and my God, now that would be a challenge. And it's just about the same challenge as working and living inside our own church, replete with human fault, which, by the way, you add your personal share every day, okay? This is very important to remember. I mean, people love to point fault out at the church, but they forget that if the church were as perfect as they wish it would be, no one would let them in the door, okay? So this is an important thing to remember. But it's a challenge now to look at this church replete with human fault and to believe that God Almighty is working and acting through it. But that truth is the lesson taught to us on the feast of St. Matthias, okay? It's the same church that all the greatest saints down through history lived and grew to likeness of Christ in and grew in that grace that the church offered. So our challenge now is to do the exact same, just as the apostles and saints of old did, to know that to be a good follower of Christ means to be a good member of the church. Let's ask for the prayers of the saints to help us to know that and to live it. St. Matthias, pray for us.